Dof e janna ba la ba yeri ba ra da re Yeshur nandana braj janna ranjana Jamuna tera bana chare Jaya Radha Madhava Kanjabi hore Gopi Janabala Ba Giribara Dari Yashodanandana Braja Janaranjana Braja Yamuna Tira Banna Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hare Shri Shri Radha Madhava Asta Sakhi Ki Jai Naroyanam Namaskritam Naram chaiva narottamam Devim sarasvatim vyasam Tato jayam udiraye Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 24, Worshipping Govardhan Hill, text 13. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Karmana Jayate Jantaha Karmanaiva Praliyate Sukam Dukam Bayakshaimam Karmanaiva Bipadyate Boliega Bolie Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Karmana Jayate Janto Karmanaiva Praliyate Hukam bayam shemam Manai babi padyate Shri Bhagavan uvacha Karmana jayate jantu Karmanaiva praliyate Sukam dukam bayakshemam Karmanai babi padyate Sri Bhagavan uvacha Karmanai jayate jantu Manai bapraliyate Dukam bayam shemam Harmanai van vipadyate Divadavanu vacha Ladies, Mataji? Bhagavan Vacha Karmana Jayade Jantu Karmana Ivapreyate Sukam Dukam Bayakshemam Karmana Ivapadyate Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Karmana, by the force of karma, Jayate takes birth. Jantaho, the living entity. Karmana, by karma, Eva, alone, praliyate, he meets his destruction. Sukham, happiness. Dukham, unhappiness. Bhayam, fear. Kshemam, security. Karmanaiva, by karma alone. Abhipadyate, are obtained. Karmana jayate jantu karmana eva praliyate sukam dukam bayakshemam karmana eva vipadyate. Translation by Vidyananda Maharaj and Gopi Purananda. Lord Krishna said, it is by the force of karma that a living entity takes birth. It is by a karma alone that he meets his destruction. His happiness, distress, fear, and sense of security all arise as the effects of karma. Please repeat. Lord Krishna said, it is by the force of karma that a living entity takes birth. And it is by karma alone that he meets his destruction. His happiness, distress, fear, and sense of security all arise as the effects of karma. Okay, then there's a purport. Lord Krishna minimized the importance of the demigods by speaking the philosophy known as Karmavad or Karma Mimangas, which basically is atheism with a belief in reincarnation. Sounds nice, huh? atheism with a belief in reincarnation. Okay. According to this philosophy, there are subtle laws of nature that reward or punish us according to how we act. As you sow, so shall you reap. In a future life, one reaps the fruit of his present work. And this is the sum and substance of reality. Lord Krishna, being God himself, could hardly be a serious proponent of this mediocre philosophy. Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of bizarre that Krishna would be saying there is no God, because he is God. Okay. Yeah. In the role of a young boy, he was simply teasing his pure devotees by preaching it. Srila okay. Jiva Goswami points out that Lord Krishna was thinking, why are these eternal associates of mine appearing as my father and other relatives and friends so caught up in this worship of Indra? Thus, although the Lord's main purpose was to take away the false pride of Indra, he also wanted to remind his eternal devotees that they need not divert their attention to other so-called gods, since in fact his devotees were already living with the supreme absolute truth, the Almighty Lord himself. Jai. So Prabhupada ki jai. So it's a great honor to be giving class here in Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan Dham. And it's also a source of great terror. What am I going to say to this audience? Yeah, yeah. My name is Hanuma Prashok. I was initiated in 1974 by some mistake. It meant somebody else, I think. Yeah. Then I took sannyas in 1984 in Udana Shasti from Bhakti Sarup Damodar Swami. Then I started initiating other people in 1994. 2004, we started our own non-profit educational corporation. And 2024, I'm planning on leaving my body. So already, there's a lot of indications it probably happened like that, you know. So for me, everybody, this is why there's Varna Ashram Dharma, which is karma, no? Varna Ashram Dharma is explaining the natural function of karma. You know, there's, first off, your karma is you should be brahmachari, brahmacharini, okay. Then your karma is that you should get married at 25 if you're a guy, 16 if you're a girl. That's two seventeen. 38, yeah, okay. You should get guy, girls, all boys must be married by 25, all girls by 16. This is 2, 17, 38, yeah. Or else take sannyas. Okay, so the karma is there. We're moving forward because of karma. And Varna Ashram is giving a very nice explanation. This is what karma means. Karma means brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, Sanya, and then death. Yeah. Birth, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas, and death. And that's kind of karma. And then something happens in between to bring us back around to the next round of it. You know, who were we in our last lifetime? As you can look around at people here and, you know, try and figure out who they were. Yeah. Sometimes you see very strong characteristics. You're an astrologer. We'll give you indications that make a lot of sense. Why you're born in a certain family. You know, I think it still has a lot of influence. Do you see the birth you took in a certain family had a certain influence on how you act and react to things? You know, I finally realized about 5, 6 years ago that my entire family, the heritage, they've all been pioneers. You know, my grandfather, they pioneered Arizona. My mother and father were, you know, met in Guam in the Pacific Ocean because they were experimenting new things. And all of a sudden, my own nature makes a lot of sense. You know, because as a sannyasi, you should have thousands of disciples and be in charge of hundreds of temples and be, you know, GBC, PhD, everything, you know. So I get introduced many times as a minor sannyasi. He's a minor sannyasi. He has not got at least 1,000 disciples. But then I was realizing I don't like it. I like to work with a small group of intelligent people investigating new things. Badu Narayan, one time we were talking about the whole process and my disciples in San Diego, and he said, you're different than many gurus because you expect your disciples to think for themselves. Like that. Everybody's different. Everybody's very different. It's a big army. It's a very big army. ISKCON. Yeah. So by karma, we take birth in a certain family. And this is why the Vedas emphasize a lot, knowing your heritage, your family, what's going on, because you discover. You know, I like pioneering with a few people, discovering new things and coming back and giving the information to the authorities and so on. You know? So Krishna is presenting this whole idea about karma at this point and trying to understand this verse and trying to give a decent class on it because this is difficult. You know? I think, 2235 or something, Prabhupada says, one should not dare to recite beyond the first two cantos unless one is free from gross illicit sex. Okay, so I think mostly everybody here is free from gross illicit sex. Yeah, because the third canto is very intense. Yeah? I was coming out of this whole hippie era in Berkeley, California, when everything was marijuana, LSD, all these things. It was incredible. Atmosphere at that time, and it was a very, very intellectual atmosphere, psychological atmosphere too. People were experiencing all these Asian cultures, Asian philosophies, so many powerful things. You know? And so then suddenly I got Srila Prabhupada's Krishna book, volume 2. I read it for 1 year, visited the temple for 1 year, then moved in, 1974. And so following the four principles for someone coming from that environment was a big change, you know. Well, can I do this? Is it correct? So then I've been following maybe some months, and somebody gave me the third canto, okay? Third canto, on the one side, is describing hell, right? Lord Kapiladeva describes what happens if you do the bad thing, this and that, and you go to hell. And in my experience, the Hare Krishna hell, the Hindu hell, is much worse than the Muslim hell, and it's much worse than the Christian hell. I mean, when the Hindus get into hell, they really, you know, you die, and you're drug out of your body by ropes, by horrible-looking, you know, policemen. And they're dragging you to hell, and dogs with iron teeth are biting your body, and envious old women are torturing you along the way. And that's just on the way to hell, right? Before you even get there, right? Before you even get there. And once you get there, wow, it's incredible. You know? Okay, so that's if you break the four principles, you don't do this. The other side is describing Devahuti and Kardama Muni and their life, you know, and how they were enjoying life, the sense gratification they were having. They had fantastic palace. They had unbelievable sexual relationships. It says, everybody here is, you know, ready for the third canto. They had a bed that increased sexual gratification. Now, I don't think it's available in the gift store here. You can certify yourself. It was shocking. They were enjoying such a level of sense gratification. But if you're a devotee, following four principles, chanting 16 rounds, grihasta, yeah. This is not only possible, it was, what's the word? It was suggested. The idea is that Kardama and Devahuti or something, or Kardama Muni could have gone on as a brahmachari for 5 lifetimes and gone back home to Godhead. But Krishna said, hey, just do it. Get married, try it out, you know, and finish it off, you know. And this is very practical advice. Many times, somebody's a frustrated, angry brahmachari. Merit, live a decent grihastha ashram, experiment with these things, and yeah, then you'll discover Devahuti and Kardamba Muni were completely convinced you cannot be happy by sense gratification. Because you look at what they had, I mean, you can get different varieties, but categorically they had the best house, the best arrangement, they were traveling to these wonderful places, and they both became completely convinced. So the third canto is starting to push you. And if you don't follow the four principles, you go to hell. If you follow the four principles, everything else, oh, you can get these celestial delights. Is that what you want? You know? So the Bhagavatam is very progressive. The first two cantos are Krishna's lotus feet. Cantos 3 and 4 are? What are they? If 1 and 2 are his feet, then 3 and 4 are his? Thighs, legs, and then 5 is waist. We have the chairman of the board of examinations here. He has eyes in the back of his head. How many people here have Bhakti Shastri diplomas? Raise your hands. Okay. How many people here have Bhakti Bhai Bhava diplomas? Raise your hands. Nobody's raising their hand. Candidates. Yeah. So if you take Bhakti Bhai Bhava, you'll know all these things. Okay, so 5 is his waist, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6 is his chest, I think. 7 is his, no, we're missing something here, arms or something, 8. And 9 is his throat, 10 is his face, yeah. 9, 10, and 11 is his head, and 12 is a crown, something like that, I forgot the order now. But it's a very progressive study, it's very progressive. And one time Radhika Raman, our good disciple, our good professor, was saying one extreme difference between Indian philosophies and other philosophies like in the West is that they're all designed for practical application. Every single philosophy in India, Sadarshan, has a practical way to apply it. But you find somebody who's practicing Kantian philosophy or something like that, Descartes, You don't find people who apply it. You know, the Christian side, yeah, they were applying their philosophy and so on. So it's very, very progressive. And now we're talking about the 10th canto here. And very advanced topic. And I was trying to understand what to include. You know. To me, the basic situation is that somehow or other, Nanda Maharaj is presenting a kind of like, you know, distorted philosophy about reality, you know. But that's kind of, you know, what's required, right? Is Nanda Maharaj in Maya? He says no. I say yes. Yeah? He's not in Mahamaya, but he is in Yogamaya. You got your choice. You can either surrender to Durga, one big sister, or Radha. You got two big sisters, but you got to do one or the other because you're 3 years old. 3 years old, you survive, you do stuff, but you got to have somebody watching after you. Yeah, we're little guys. So you got your choice, Radha or Durga. Durga is offering you all kinds of fun things you can do. We can steal this, we can break that, yeah. Yeah. And Radha is offering you, you know, be good, this kind of stuff. Yeah, yeah. So he's in, the Brijbasis are all in Yogamaya. Yogamaya. Who is Yogamaya? You're here in Vrindavan Dham. It begins with a P. Huh? Purnamasi. Who is her grandson? The Madhu Mangal, right? Yeah, yeah. Where does she live? Yeah. In a nice leaf hut on the bank of the Jamuna. She's a tapasvi, very, very austere. And her son, Madhu Mangal, is taking care of her like that. Very austere lady like that, you know. So she's Yogamaya. She's trying to run the entire show, which is very difficult because Krishna, the gopis, Mother Yashoda, always creating problems, and she has to adjust things very quickly, make up with it. Three things come together. Krishna, Krishna's devotee, and devotional service. And they dance, and nobody can quite figure out who's in charge. Is it Krishna in charge? Is Radha in charge? Or is Purnamasi in charge? You know, yeah. So that's reality here, reality. If you want a more straightforward process, you should become a worshiper of Jehovah or Allah. But here, Jamuna Tira, Banachari. Yeah, things here are kind of crooked and distorted. Yeah, but they're fun. They're more fun here. So Mananda Maharaj is in Yogamaya, other people like that, trying to figure out what's going on, and they're adopting the traditions of the Brijbasis, right? How important are the traditions of the Brijbasis for us? Wow. The acharyas, like Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Goswami, they determine their books, their literature on three things. Shastric sources, you know, the traditions of the Brijbasis, and sadhu drishya, internal insight, their perspective of spiritual perspective. The Brajmandal Parikrama, which goes Chirasi Krosh Parikrama, going all the way around, the book, I forget what it's called, Hari Bhakti something. Something. Anyway, it was written by Narayana Bhattacharya. It was his name, Narayan Bhattacharya, and he was contemporary of the six Goswamis, an old fellow, and he had his deities, think of Radha Krishna or something. So he was trying to find the original Parikrama path and how everybody would go around and visit all the places, and it goes interior. When we do it with Lokanath Maharaj or other things, we just, you know, go around the outside, but the one he described actually goes inside and visits all these places. So it's, you know, making spiritual progress by traveling. You know. So same way, he would consult with different scriptural resources, and then the Brijbasis would say, oh no, this is there, that's there. We have this festival every year. We do this festival for, you know, 5,000 years. Yeah, and you can believe it looking at them. You know. But sometimes he wouldn't be able to, you know, figure out where it was lost. And his little deities of Lala and Lali, Radha and Krishna would jump down and say, we know, follow us. And they would lead him to describe the place like that. Go on. So Vrindavan, you know, always under yoga maya, you know, so that Radha and Krishna can dance. Ever fresh, ever new, and Purnamasi trying to arrange it like that. Of course, we're in Bhomalila. Are we in Goloka or Gokula? Gokula, H-I-J-K-L. Yeah, which is Bhomalila, the earthly pastimes of Krishna. As I remember, Gopal Kumar is describing this, and he says when he goes from Goloka to Gokula, for a few moments he can tell the difference, and after that he kind of becomes confused, you know. So yeah, this is like being in the French embassy, the Italian embassy. Yeah, it's their legal authority. The Italian embassy in India, the Indian government has no authority over it. They cannot send police in there, they cannot do anything. So once you come into Vrindavan Dham, you know, Maya, Mahamaya only comes in with the permission of, you know, Radharani and the gopis. So whatever is happening here is all under the control of the internal potency. Oh, there's trash, there's all these things. Yeah, it's all controlled for a certain purpose. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says you can be in the Dham or on the Dham, right? Right? So all this asphalt, you know, if you lift it up, under that is Vrindavan. have to lift it up. Yes. Yeah. When I came here in 1978, first time, it was very different. There were only pedal rickshaws. Oh, God. Only pedal rickshaws, yeah. And there were real beggars. I mean, these people had, you know, kanta. You take all the old thrown-out dhotis and lie them on top of each other, then put them together. You get a quilt in English. Okay, it works. Skinny. And there was one breed of dog, street dog. They had their hair coming off from diseases. Their tails would go like this. Teeth were falling out. They were fighting with the pigs for garbage. Like that. It was just, Yeah. Prabhupada, when he brought the American disciples here, first time he was walking along, because he was saying that if you do bad things, you become a dog in your next lifetime. But to tell an American like that is actually kind of tempting, because American dogs have a really, really good life. You know, if you go to a supermarket in America, there's an entire row of dog and cat food. It's just 25 different kinds of little cans of cat food for your cat. You know, so you tell Americans, "Oh, you'll be bad. You'll be dog in your next life." Yeah. They have a pool. They have grooming parlors where your dog goes to get a haircut every day. You know. So then they came along, and there was one of these Brijbasi street dogs with his tail broke and his teeth falling out, snarling at the pigs over garbage. And Prabhupada pointed his cane and said, "This is dog." Okay, I'll be good. So 1978, I was trying to remember if I gave a class here, but I did. And I can remember the class. It was like this. And Ayendra was right over there. Okay, yeah. And even in 1978, Ayendra was considered more eccentric then than he later was. Maybe somebody can remember, you know. So when he would ask questions, it was like something from the 18th dimension or something like that. It was just like, you know. And so I graduated in psychology, you know. So it was interesting. He was like giving iconographic questions rather than, you know, linear questions. And so I would answer in an iconographic fashion, and people would, yeah. You would hear he appeared to be speaking the same language, you know, yeah. So everything here is under this internal potency. Everything is here for one purpose, for Krishna to enjoy things, for Radharani and Krishna to try different kinds of games, playing, service, you know. Every single person is created individually. Krishna does not know what we're going to do. Krishna doesn't know what the gopis are going to do, put us in the mode of goodness. He doesn't know what we're going to do. We have free will. Okay, in the mode of ignorance, hey, okay, you're being blocked so you can get some purification, but come even to the material mode of goodness, and then, you know, otherwise, how do we get new karma unless we're making certain choices? In the material mode of goodness, they're limited, you know, to material choices, but those choices are choices that are taking you to the point where Krishna says, "Okay, I'm taking away the baby doll. Here's your little sister. Take care of her." Yeah. And so then we get, you know, real things that really matter, that are really important. Yeah. The doshwada, sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya, different levels. Kanista adhikari, majjhima adhikari. Yeah. So Vrindavan Dham, sorry, perspective. It's here for everybody. It's Vrindavan Dham. You know, if you're not allowed to come here unless Krishna allows it. Okay. So there's the Mathura, Delhi-Mathura highway. People are passing through. But some of them, they never get out of the car their whole life. They may pass through Vrindavan 65 times in their life and never one time get out. They're locked in a little bubble of glass and steel. But some things, you're so fortunate. Bharati Bhumite Hoile Manushya Janmasar Sartaka Sartakar Kapara Parakar Upakar. Yeah, you take birth in, I heard Prabhupada, I think it was three different lectures. Prabhupada says you only take birth in Bharata if you were interested in spiritual life in your previous life. So I know, everybody here, yeah, you had some interest. That's why you take birth here. Why do you take birth in Germany? Because you like good machines, okay? Why do you take birth in France? Yeah, romance. Why do you take a birth in Italy? Good food. And why do you take birth in England? Espionage. Prabhupada says British people are the most cunning people on the earth. That's why Hansaduda was describing in an ideal ISKCON temple, the temple president is British temple president, temple commander is German. Yeah, the cook is Italian. What else we got? Oh yeah, and the head pujari is French. Yeah. You remember Omkar? Anybody here know Omkar Prabhu? Yeah, you remember him. Yeah, he was French pujari kind of guy. He was decorating Radhe Shyam, you know, perfume. Other devotees were trying to look how he was dressing them. But it was fantastic. He would just, you know, dress them so beautifully. So on, yeah. So what is our karma? Prabhupada said, become self-realized, build your character, and preach. So self-realized doesn't mean what is my Gopi Bhava, what is my Sarupa and Goloka. It means what is my karma, what is my nature. First initiation, Sambandha, you're just God. Krishna's God, I'm his servant. Okay. Second initiation, you should have figured out. I'm Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Okay, and now I can engage my nature in serving Krishna. And that'll be so accelerating for me. Ah, that's what Arjuna's doing. He's using his nature to serve Krishna. And it's purifying. You know? And so we begin to find out, what is my nature? Okay, purify your character. And when you're purified, then preach. You know, take students, communicate to other people like that. You know? So this is a very strange atmosphere. Here's Nanda Maharaj and under Yogamaya and talking about, you know, traditional duties and Indra. You know, we would be ungrateful to Indra if we didn't do this and these kind of things. You know, and I'm wondering myself, it's kind of like maybe again Yogamaya is creating this atmosphere to maybe she's teasing Krishna. All your devotees will naturally do what you say. They'll naturally worship you. But I'm going to create this illusion so they're kind of worshiping the demigods, and so you have to kind of like set them straight. Hey, I'm God. Yeah. Oh yeah, we forgot. Yeah. And then his main purpose, of course, is to purify Indra. And again, Indra is a very nice person. Okay, another question here, Bhakti Bhai Baba question. Indra is a Shaktiyavesh avatar. The four Kumaras are Shaktiyavesh avatar of Jnana. Narada Muni is Shaktiyavesh avatar of Bhakti. Prithu Maharaj is Shaktiyavesh avatar of to be able to control the people. Okay. Indra is Shaktiyavesh avatar of Krishna's lusty nature. Krishna's lusty nature. Which is, means good clothes, prestige, honor, fame, all these things. So it's not surprising that he acts the way he does. You know? And so when he tries to kill the Brijbasis and apologizes, Krishna says, it's okay, don't worry about it. You know? You try to kill the gopis and Nanda Maharaj and all the cow. But yeah, everybody has a bad day, you know. Okay. But when Lord Brahma just very carefully puts them to sleep and moves them away, he apologizes. What does Krishna do? He doesn't even say anything. He apologizes. Krishna just looks at him because he should have known better. He should have maybe known better or something, you know. So his first job is to try and bring Indra back to his senses, straighten him out, you know. But it's going along with the same pastime with the Brijbasis and so on. So many people here have little children. How many people here have six-year-old children or something, or have had them or something, 7 years? Okay, so Nanda Maharaj is trying to explain to Krishna in a very simple fashion, because he knows he's a little child, he won't understand all these things. And then Krishna starts citing, you know, Karmavad philosophy with all these things. It's like your child started telling you, Papa, quoting, you know, Patanjali Sutras say, you know, the Karma Mimamsa philosophy says, you know, karma bhakti. Where did you learn this, Lala? Like that. I was listening to, I was on the YouTube, on Google. I was looking up on Google. Yeah. So Krishna starts to present this entire Karmavad philosophy. And the Krishna book probably says he was advocating a karma mimamsa philosophy. So I kind of looked it up. I mean, other people know more about these things than I do, much more. But of course, there's Sadarshan, no? Six philosophical schools. But all of them, the way they're presenting them, aren't more than like, you know, 2,500 years old. You know, Kapila, his Sankhya, Anishwara Kapila, he's put up maybe 500 BC. Jaimini, who's speaking Karma Mimamsa, they classify him in 500 BC. You know? So, as far as I can tell, in general, there's no mention of Sadarshan anywhere in the Vedas. Like, these are the six schools, you know, philosophy and so on, directly. You know? But so how could Krishna be preaching Karma Mimamsa? Well, that's what the philosophy came down to. And the basic idea, Karma Mimamsa. Mimamsa means like introspection, contemplating, because the Vedas talk about rituals mostly. That's what you'll find in the Vedas. Veda rituals for the Brahmanas, rituals for Grihasthas, different things. So Karma Mimamsa means like, let's take a look at these things and try and give some kind of explanation. Which ones are appropriate? How do we decide it? How do we establish the facts? You know, and what is the general purpose of these things, and what are we talking about in terms of living entities? So it's called Purva Mimamsa, which means before, I think, yeah, or Karma Mimamsa. Yeah. And that's what it's for. It's mostly discussing how to use logical techniques and these kind of things. But it also describes an ontology. What is the world? Philosophy is usually divided in three categories, epistemology, ontology, and praxeology. How do you know? What can you know? What do you do about it? So the epistemology, ours is, of course, that there's, you know, the living entities are different than matter. The living entities are individually different from each other. Krishna is different than the other living entities. This is our philosophy. So this Mimamsa's Karmabha that Krishna is presenting is that, yeah, there is a karma. And it's giving details. And it's also talking about karma in terms of reincarnation. You know, Hamlet. One of the things we've been doing in our preaching is world classical literature. Been very effective, you know, looking at the great classics that influence people's lives. You know, what is the most famous question in the world? Huh?
Who am I?
No. To be.
Or not to be.
Yeah. So many people know that. To be or not to be. That is the question. People pay $500 to be in the front row to hear some famous actors say that. You know, to be or not to be. That is the question. Yeah. So we've been doing with great success one cultural presentation. You know, I from Srupa Damodar Maharaj, I learned so much. You can see it on our movies. We're putting us all into movies, you can see all the things we learned from Srupa Damodar Maharaj. We sat down and recorded them one time. But yeah, very, very nice preaching in this atmosphere to professors and people like that. They influence so many other people. So one very, very effective program has been Hamlet and Arjuna. How many people here know the story of Hamlet? Okay. How many people here know the story of Arjuna? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so United States is exact opposite. But when you start looking at them, it's so parallel. There was a prince, and he was forced to fight with his family, kill them, everything else, chastise his members like that. He did not want to do it, but he was being forced by karma, by his own destiny, to engage in this activity. What's the name of that prince? Hamlet. Arjuna. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Arjuna does not want to fight the battle. He does not want to fight it. Hamlet does not want to kill his uncle and chastise his mother and call her a royal. You know, he has to, in very unpleasant terms, chastise his mother for how she's acting. He says, you know, time is out of joint. Oh, cursed spite. That I was ever born to set it right. Very powerful. Hansa Dutta told us that Prabhupada said, you can teach Shakespeare in the Gurukula. If you want to understand word power, read Shakespeare. Okay. Gopi Puranadana told me over there, when it was still Gurukula, that he was in Calcutta, and one time Prabhupada was giving evening program, and maybe a few people there, devotees, very close friends, and he started giving this entire lecture on the Merchant of Venice. The Merchant of Venice. A beautiful, powerful in intellectual phrases, cultural phrases. The power of mercy is not strained. You know, it falleth like the gentle rain from heaven. Very famous phrases that are so powerful like that. And so then Prabhupada, he said, gave an entire lecture, very enthusiastic on the Merchant of Venice and the lessons that were coming from that. Then he said sometime later he found a book in Calcutta, Venetia Vanik, which was a translation. We tried translating phrases from Hamlet into Spanish, and it took us 2 weeks to get basically, you know, 5 minutes of translation, you know. I don't know. You speak Hindi? Okay. Try and translate this into Hindi. In fair Verona, where we lay our scene, two families both alike in dignity, from ancient grudge break forth to new mutiny, and civil blood makes civil hands unclean. Even English is tough, you know. But it's so fruitful because then, you know, then Arjuna comes right across. I've given this so many times, I'm almost like sick of it. But people, big people, the national television people, embassy, biggest professors in the world become interested in the story then because it touches them, right? Arjuna has to do this very, very difficult activity. Hamlet is the same thing. Arjuna comes to a certain conclusion about karma, right? Yeah. In the end, Arjuna comes to karmavad philosophy. I'm being forced to do this. There's no reaction. Even if you're God, it doesn't really matter. If you want to be my charioteer, do it. Do it whatever else. It's all being forced. Why should I care? Right? That's karmavad. It's karmavad. Nobody in control. If I manipulate the laws of matter, Krishna, you'll be forced to give me the results. You know? Yeah. It's karmavad. Karmavad. But Arjuna comes to a very completely different conclusion, right? Krishna even says, Sarva Dharman Puritvanya Mami Kam Sharanam Raja. You got a lot of students who are Bhakti Shastri. Sign up after the class, we'll give discounts. Yeah. This is most quoted verse by Srila Prabhupada. Sarva Dharma, Sarva Karma. Sarva karma, sarva dharma, purit jaja, mamekam sharanam braja, ham tam sarva papebio, moksha yishami masuchaha. He's not even offering anything higher. He's just telling him, hey, your problem was you're afraid of getting bad reactions for your karma. Surrender to me, I'll take care of that. So he's giving him a higher, you know, higher, very high option. That's why Bhagavad Gita is so intelligent. It takes us to this very high option of karma. And where philosophically where it starts, Srimad Bhagavatam starts, and historically. So such an incredible resource we have. You look at Western philosophy, how many people here know who the Manichaeists are? Oh, anybody here know? Nobody knows. Manichaeists. You know Manichaeism? Okay. It lasted in the West from, I think, about maybe like the 4th century till the 8th century. It was started by the sage Mani in the Middle East, and it was very powerful. Christianity was going, neck and neck against it. In Christianity, even now, if you go to the Vatican, you say the word Manichaeists, people will turn their head right away and look at you, because for about 2 centuries, Christianity was really, you know, struggling to survive against Manichaeism. It went all the way from the edges of the Roman Empire in the West to China, and it has survived into China for so much longer. Mani had his own philosophy that basically there are two forces which are equally powerful, good and evil, and human beings are a creation of these, and on like that. You know, so it was a very powerful philosophy. It was completely atheistic, but they recommended following the four regular principles and everything else. You know. So Christians began to downplay following the four principles and reincarnation because they wanted to say no, belief in God, superior authority. So we should all thank them that they won their battle, because now we can talk about, you know, Christian consciousness in a good atmosphere. So this karmavad that Krishna is preaching, it's compared to other philosophies and everything else, it's so low, such a low philosophy that it's kind of like almost embarrassing. But I was thinking maybe it's the same thing as that, you know, Krishna's defeating Indra. Yesterday Mars is pointing out that it doesn't even take my big finger to do it, or my thumb. If you think that, somebody understands, it's a real deep insult. So Indra, Krishna's defeating all of Indra's intellectual authority and everything else with Karmabad, which is such a ridiculous philosophy that it's like, I can defeat all your authority with a stupid philosophy, you know, which wipes out all of your authority immediately. I haven't even got to give anything else, philosophical deviations. So it's basically the situation. Krishna is there, it's Vrindavan. Ananda Maharaj is in Maya. You know, Indra has become confused. And Krishna is going to have a very, very good time accomplishing 25 different things at the same time, playing 45 different games at the same time. Over here in the corner, you can see, you know, so many interesting things about Govardhan Leela. My name is Hanuma Prashak, so I went over before and asked the blessing to the monkey. There's a monkey also there offering a banana to Krishna. Maybe need some refreshment, you know, yeah, while you're holding this up. Yeah. There's also the gopis. Yeah. And so here we are in Vrindavan Dham, and we're getting a chance to hear about the 10th canto, which describes Vrindavan Dham, and understanding these things on different levels. Yeah. And karma, yeah, like that. So, koi prashna hai? Any questions? Yes. This man is standing up. Okay. He's going out. Yes. Yes. Oh. Why Krishna? What is your good name? Huh? Oh, wow. It's a good name. Mother Sati used to say that, right? Nimai! Yeah. Okay, okay.
So, sometimes you see Prabhupada is walking on the beach, or he's looking at the sky, and he's seeing all the energies of Krishna, they are unfolding. And he equates it to Krishna's will. Now he's like, it's all happening under Krishna's will. And sometimes he sees it's not different to the spiritual world, something like that. Mm-hmm. If the person's consciousness is completely liberated, then does his karma unfold?
If the person is liberated, does...
Is his karma unfolding? Is he under Krishna's, completely under Krishna's guidance?
Okay. Of course, there are different levels of liberation. You know, yeah. Brahman is a kind of general liberation. Na sochati, na kankshati, right? Sama sarvesha bhuteshu. So we expect in ISKCON, if you're second initiated, you know, that you won't be lament. I've seen this, pujaris and stuff. They don't hanker, they don't lament. They're always kind of cheerful, they're equal to everybody. Yeah, so it's. We can judge our society, and it seems we're doing pretty good. And a little bit more than after that, Brahman Paramatma, third initiation. Yeah, third initiation. Yeah, then you should start to see, you know, Paramatma. And not only do you realize that the deities are spiritual, you realize that, But then you begin to get specific form direction, inspiration, ideas like that. You begin to see the hand of God in things, okay. And then Bhagavan Satchidananda, then you realize person, And so, Sat and Chit are not permanent liberation, Only when you come to the level of Mahavishnu, Shiradakshaya Vishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, when you realize Mahavishnu, his function, his position, that everything is being controlled by him, then you come to Shantaras, he's lying on the ocean of whatever it is. A storm is coming in the background. It's in a palace of thousands of columns. Ananta Shesha is there with thousands of hoods shooting fire. Nanda and Sunanda are chanting prayers. It's like Shringar Artik, which never stops. Govindam Mari Purusham. But it just keeps on going forever and ever and ever. And Govindam. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. This is Shantaras, and it's supportable, it's maintainable. You know, is there Shantaras in Goloka? Yeah, the cows are in Shantaras, Krishna's flower garland. But I think this is a different kind of Shantaras. Yeah, so on. Yeah. So that's, there are different levels of liberation. And of course, the gopis are more liberated in their dealings with Krishna than his parents, even still. You know? Yeah. So, what level are you? How's it go? Diksha Kali, Bhakti Kari, Atma Samarpan. Diksha Kali, Bhakti Kari, Atma Samarpan. Se Kali, Krishna Kari, Tari, Atma Sam. At the time of Diksha, when you do second initiation, or coming to that level by following first initiation, at that point Krishna takes you as good as himself, as yourself. So at that point, yeah, we can understand that, you know, you, at the time of Diksha, the cords of your karma, they pass from Durga, who's applying things according to the rules, to Radha. You know. And so now you have Krishna karma. And she sees, okay, this is his karma, Arjuna's karma. But now, I'm going to adjust it like this a little bit, you know, for spiritual purposes. We need this to be done. There's nobody else to do it. I'm going to empower him to do it. Or he, she, or it needs to get some, become more purified, you know, like that, to learn things. You know, I learned how to recognize the super soul. You know. So at that point, our karma is still there, but now it's being totally controlled by Krishna. You know? And even if we slip and do something, okay, it wasn't an intentional thing. Yeah, okay, doesn't matter, because Krishna allows us to slip, you know, but he kind of keeps us from making it as bad as it should be. And so we learn, you know, spiritual fact. Yeah. It's okay.
Do you care?
Yeah. So our karma, at first initiation, second initiation, your karma is still going, but now it's under Krishna's control.
So as the candidate is progressing, and he's purifying his heart,
yeah,
he's removing, it's like a changing process. But then, when the person is born,
When the person is born,
his mother, his father, his previous karma, yeah, it shapes his mentality.
Yeah.
Now, somebody takes Krishna consciousness.
Yeah.
What determines his spiritual mind, his spiritual activities? Like, he becomes a new person. What decides that?
No, it's like Arjuna. You know, Arjuna doesn't go back into the battle after Bhagavad Gita like Vyasadev. He goes back in like Arjuna. Right? Yeah. A man of action. Yeah. And so that karma is there. But now it's in his case, of course, it's all connected to Krishna internally. But he's showing us that now it's all being dovetailed in Krishna's service. It's not going to produce a reaction. If there's a little accident will fall down, Krishna compensates for it. Yeah. Okay. And so it's always under control. And as we become more purified, more perfect, it becomes higher and higher, until finally, you know, Bhagavan realization, and then there is no, the external way. Yoga Maya at that point goes from being Durga to Subhadra. She's Durga. When we're in whatever connection we have, which may be a little bit, and she's playing her part now, helping this person become purified, following Radha's advice, what to do. And then we become purified, now she becomes Yoga Maya. She becomes Subhadra. Yeah. And now she's, her activities are a part of the internal potency. Yeah. Okay. And that note, we will now finish the class, and our karma will propel us to breakfast. Sari Ravidja Ja. Shilpapad Ki Ja. Hare Krishna Ma Mantra Ki Ja. Thank you all very much. And if you want to sign up for Bhakti Shastri, Atul Krishna is right here.